Howdy, howdy. This is Lily from Makecraft Game, and you're listening to Season 3 of Reading Rulebooks. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and check out makecraftgame.com for more content. This season, I accidentally planned a ton of Nitzia games, so I figured, why not dive in and do a whole Nitzia season? Today's Nitzia game is The Quest for Eldorado. The Quest for Eldorado is one of my absolute favorite games, so I am very excited to have an opportunity to talk about it. So let's get into it. Description. Deep in the dense jungles of South America lies Eldorado, the city of gold. Unlimited treasure waits in this lost kingdom, gold, jewels, and precious artifacts. You are a group of daring adventurers who embark on a search for the lost city. Slip into the role of brave expedition leaders and guide your team to Eldorado. Assemble a team of experts for your expedition, acquiring valuable equipment, and plan your journey wisely. Whoever crosses the border into the Golden City first wins the game and claims all the treasure. The assembly guide or page to set up the game is actually a different insert and not in the rulebook, so we're going to switch over to that real quick. Setting up the game. For your first game, assemble the jungle as shown below. For subsequent games, you can design your own jungle courses or follow our recommendations on the back of this page. Continue reading the instructions after assembly. A. Setting up the first game. 1. The race begins on the start tile labeled B. Look for the 5 terrain tiles shown in the illustration. They are double-sided, so you might need to turn them over. Assemble the tiles by laying them out as shown below. For this setup, you'll need tiles B, C, N, I, and K. 3. Align the ending tile as shown. This is the gate to Eldorado, the goal of your expedition. 4. Shuffle the 6 blockades face down. Put a random blockade on each connection between 2 terrain tiles. Then turn it face up. Return the rest of the blockades to the box. B. Game contents. Each player receives, in the color of their choice, 2 playing pieces, 1 expedition board, 1 starting deck of 8 cards, 1 sailor, 3 explorers, and 4 travelers with triangles in the corner, that you shuffle and set aside as your draw pile. Before your first turn, draw 4 cards from your deck. Whoever sat down first at the table goes first. That player receives the starting player hat token and puts one of his or her playing pieces on the start space number 1. All other players, in turn order, place their playing pieces on the next vacant spot. The second game piece is only used in the 2-player game. The starting player occupies starting space number 1 and 3, the other player number 2 and 4. C. Marketplace. Last but not least, prepare the card Marketplace. Every game must be played with all 54 expedition cards. Sort the cards face up and put 18 different card types in a pile in the middle of the table. Place the 6 piles with the dot in the bottom right corner next to each other on the market board. Place the other 12 piles without a symbol next to the market board. Now you can begin your race to Eldorado, and we'll go back to reading the instructions. How the game works. Each player starts with a face-down deck of cards, his or her expedition to draw from. At the beginning of the game, your deck contains the following 8 cards: 1 sailor, 3 explorers, and 4 travelers. You start each turn with 4 cards in your hand. Use expedition cards to move through the jungle or hire more people for your expedition. An expedition card will have the name at the top, the power under the name, the color and symbol inside the power square, the purchase price at the bottom of the card. Turn structure. Each player's turn consists of 3 phases. 1. Play cards. Play cards to move your expedition or to buy a new card. 2. Discard played cards. Put all played cards on your discard pile. 3. Draw cards. Draw cards until you have 4 cards in hand. The player with the starting player hat token starts the race and completes all 3 phases. Then the next player in turn order does the same. Your goal is Eldorado. Phase 1. Play cards. Play any number of cards from your hand to A, move your playing piece, and or B, buy up to one new card for your expedition. Each card in your hand can only be used once per turn. First, play cards that you want to use for moving. Use the rest of your cards to buy up to one new card. A. Movement. The path to El Dorado leads through different types of terrain. Landscape, green, yellow, blue, rubble, gray, and base camp, red. Each hex space shows the requirements you have to meet to move onto it. The more symbols depicted on the space, the more difficult it is to move there. The number of symbols equals the power of space. Landscape spaces. Play one card from your hand and place it above your expedition board. Most cards have a power value. The power value allows you to move one or more spaces of the same type adjacent to the position of your playing piece. Then you may play another card to make an additional move. Any played card must meet two requirements. One, the symbol on the card must match the color or symbol on the space that you want to move to. Two, the power value of the card must be equal or higher than the power of the space. If both conditions are met, you move onto that space. If you have leftover power, you may use it to continue moving to the next space. The same two requirements apply, but you first subtract the power you have already spent from the played card's power value. You can stop moving at any time. In that case, you lose any unspent power immediately. Important: you cannot combine multiple cards to move onto a landscape space with higher power value. Example: Sarah plays an explorer which has one green power and moves one green space. Then she plays a scout that has two green power and moves two spaces worth one each. Finally, she plays a trailblazer which has three power and moves onto a three power space. Special spaces. To move onto a rubble or base camp space, use any cards from your hand. The number of symbols on the space indicates the number of cards you need to play. The identity of those cards is irrelevant. Cards you play to move onto a base camp space aren't discarded. Instead, they are completely removed from the game. They won't be used again this game. Hint: this is a great way to get rid of weak cards from your deck and keep your expedition lean. This makes it possible for you to keep drawing your best cards with the highest power levels. Important: you can never move onto mountains or spaces that are already occupied by other playing pieces. B. Buy new cards. You can buy up to one card per turn, whether you have moved this turn or not. Cards with a coin symbol are worth their power. All other cards are worth a half a coin each. Play any number of cards and add their values together. This is the total amount of money you can spend on the new card. Choose a card on the market board that you can afford and put it face up on your discard pile. You may neither use that card during this turn nor put it directly into your hand. The card will eventually be shuffled into your draw pile with the rest of the discard pile. Example: John decides not to move this turn. Instead, he plans a big purchase. First, he plays all the cards from his hand. One traveler, one photographer, one explorer, and one sailor. The traveler is worth one coin. The photographer is worth two coins. The explorer is worth one half coin. And the sailor is worth one half a coin, which equals four coins. John can now afford any card from the market board that costs four or less. He chooses the telegraph, purchase price, four coins, and puts it on his discard pile. How can I buy the rest of the expedition cards? At the beginning of the game, you may choose from any of the six different expedition card piles on the market board. Once all three cards of a pile have been sold, you gain access to the cards next to the market board. If there is at least one vacant spot on the board market, you may choose any expedition card that you can afford, even if they aren't on the market board. If the chosen card is from one of the piles next to the market board, place its pile on the vacant spot. Each time there is a vacant spot on the market board, you have access to all remaining expedition cards. Special cards, items. These cards are marked by a cross-out card symbol. Item cards can only be played once per game. After an item card is used, remove it from the game. Put it back into the box. Do not place it on your discard pile. Exception. If you play an item card without using its function, i.e. to pass a rebel space, or to spend it as one half a coin, place it above the expedition board after you've played, then put it on your discard pile. You can find an overview over all expedition cards in the glossary on page 8 of this rulebook. Phase 2. Discard played cards. At the end of your turn, put all cards you placed above your expedition board during phase 1, i.e. all the cards you played excluding any cards that were completely removed from the game, face up on your discard pile. If you still have cards in your hand, experts or items, you can now choose to keep them in your hand for your next turn, or discard them as well. You may decide for each card individually. Phase 3. Draw cards. Finally, draw cards from your draw pile until you have 4 cards in your hand. If your draw pile doesn't contain enough cards to draw for your next turn, draw as many as possible. Then, shuffle your discard pile to form your new draw pile, then draw the rest of the cards you need. Pass the turn to the next player in turn order. Blockades. Blockades are obstacles on your path. The first player who wants to pass a blockade must overcome it by fulfilling its power requirements, number of symbols on the blockade. To do that, he or she plays a card just like he or she would for movement. That player gets to keep the blockade. Use them as a tiebreaker at the end of the game. After a blockade has been removed, all players may now freely enter the previously blocked spaces. Blockades work like other spaces. For example, you can use a Discoverer, Machete 3, to meet the Machete 1 requirement, then continue moving onto an adjacent green field, if there is one. End of the game. When a player reaches one of the 3 finishing spaces, this triggers the final round. They will then place their piece on El Dorado to free up the finishing space. Each player left in the round will now play their final turn. Once the round is completed, the game is over. If the last player of a round reaches one of the finishing spaces first, the game ends immediately. What happens if the game is tied? If the final round ends up with multiple players reaching El Dorado, the player who's collected the most blockades wins the game. If there is still a tie, the player with the highest power blockades wins. Rules for 2 players. Assemble the game as usual. The rules for movement, market, and discarding are unchanged. Each player gets a second playing piece in their color. The starting player places their playing pieces on the starting space 1 and 3, and the other player on 2 and 4. To win, you must reach El Dorado first with both of your pieces. If both players manage to reach El Dorado with their second playing piece during the final turn, use normal tiebreaker rules. When moving on your turn, for each card you play, choose which playing piece that card applies to. Move that playing piece, then choose again for your next card. You cannot use a card for both of your playing pieces by splitting up its power. Additionally, all playing pieces still function as barriers. You can't move onto a space that is already occupied by another playing piece, even if it is yours. Example of a complete turn. Anne has these 4 cards in her hand. 1 traveler with 1 gold power, a journalist with 3 gold power, a prop plane which can either be 4 green power, 4 blue power, or 4 gold power, but can only be used once and will be discarded if used, and a cartographer which allows you to draw 2 cards. Phase 1, play cards. First, Anne plays the cartographer and draws 2 additional cards from her draw pile. She draws the pioneer, which has 5 green power, and the native, which allows you to move onto an adjacent space. Next, Annie starts moving. She plays the pioneer and moves 3 spaces, machete 1 plus machete 2 plus machete 3, which is equal to machete 5 or 5 green power. Then she moves onto the adjacent base camp. To do that, she must remove 1 card from her hand. She chooses the traveler, which has 1 gold power, and removes it from the game. To continue moving, Annie plays the prop plane as paddle. She uses it to move across 2 adjacent river spaces, paddle 1 and paddle 2. Since she can't use the remaining one power of her prop plane, it goes unspent. She must remove the prop plane from the game and returns it to the box. Next, she plays the native and moves her piece onto the rebel space. The native allows her to ignore a space's requirements, which means she does not have to play three cards from her hand, and uses her final card to buy a new card. She plays the journalist to gain 3 gold. Since there is a vacant spot on the market board, she can purchase any expedition card she likes. She chooses the compass, 2 coins, and puts it on her discard pile. Since it is only possible to buy 1 card per turn, her final gold goes unspent. Finally, she puts the remaining cards from the compass pile on the vacant spot on the market board. Phase 2 and Phase 3. Anne puts all cards that she has played this turn and placed above her expedition board on her discard pile and draws 4 cards from her draw pile. Caves variant. Once you have proven your exploration prowess by playing a few games, try the Caves variant. Your goal is still to be the first expedition to reach El Dorado, but additionally, you have the option to explore caves on the way. Within those caves, you find tokens that give you additional advantages. During setup, shuffle all 36 cave tokens. Create face-down piles of 4 tokens each and place 1 pile on every mountain space that shows a cave. If your playing piece comes to a stop next to a cave, explore it. Your piece must stop there. You can't explore while passing a cave. To explore the cave, take the top cave token from the pile and put it face up in front of you. You can own as many cave tiles as you like and play them during your turn. Note: to explore the same cave again, you first need to move away from the cave, stopping on a space that is not adjacent to the cave. Then you can move your piece to a space next to the cave again. You cannot move alongside the cave to get multiple tokens. Once you have collected a cave token, you can play it any time during your current turn or during any of your later turns. Played cave tiles are removed from the game. Return them to the box after use. Example: Julian plays a scientist and moves his piece onto the jungle space next to the cave. He takes the top cave token and places it face up in front of him. Julian immediately uses the cave token to move to the next space. That space is also next to the cave, but since he moved from one adjacent space to the next, he won't get another cave token. Optionally, Julian could have saved his cave token for a later movement or to purchase a card. The game contains the following cave tokens. Play machete, coin, or paddle tokens to move onto same colored spaces. Alternatively, you can use coin tokens to buy a card. Card plus 1. These tokens allow you to draw an additional card from your draw pile. Just like the cartographers, this token allows you to play that card in the same turn you drew it. Card crossed out by an X. Play these tokens to remove any card in your hand from the game. 1 to 4 card discard, plus 1 to 4 cards. These tokens allow you to replace the cards in your hand. When you play the token, play up to 4 cards from your hand above the expedition board. Then draw that many cards from your draw pile. Item card. Play this token immediately after using an item card. Instead of removing that item from the game, put it in your discard pile during phase 2 of your turn. Player piece move. After playing this token, you are allowed to move onto or past an occupied space for the rest of your turn. Mountains are still off limits. Arrow leading to a hex. This token works just like the native. Use this token to move onto any adjacent space, ignoring its requirements. You cannot use this token to move onto an occupied space or a mountain. Rotation between the 3 symbols. Play this token to change the symbol of the next card you play. For example, you can use a trailblazer, machete 3, as a coin 3 or paddle 3. Glossary: Expedition cards. Green cards, or machete cards, help you clear a path through the jungle. Blue cards, or paddle cards, give you paddles to move across rivers. Yellow cards, or coin cards, give you coins to travel through villages or hire new team members. White jokers allow you to choose 1 of the 3 symbols whenever you play them: machete, paddle, or coin. Action cards. Purple action cards can be played at any time during your turn, either while moving or while buying. Follow the card's instructions and then continue playing. Don't forget to remove cards with the remove card symbol from the game after using them. When you play the transmitter, you may take any expedition card without paying for it. Choose any card on the market board or next to it. Put the new card on your discard pile, as usual. Remember to remove the transmitter from the game after using it. The cartographer allows you to draw two cards from your draw pile and play them this turn. If your draw pile is empty, first shuffle your discard pile as usual, then draw. The compass allows you to draw three cards, but you must remove it from the game after use. Use the scientist to optimize your expedition. She allows you to immediately draw an additional card, then, if you want to, you may remove any card from your hand from the game. The travel log lets you draw two cards and then remove up to two cards from your hand from the game. Unfortunately, the travel log then removes itself from the game. The native knows the lay of the land and always lets you move one space when played. Ignore that space's requirement and just place your piece on it. The native can also tear down blockades, but you can't use it to move to an occupied space or onto a mountain space. That is the core rulebook for Quest to El Dorado, but then I found there was a second rulebook in my box, which was the expansion for Heroes and Hexes, so I figured let's just keep reading. Contents: 4 familiar cards, 15 demon cards, 24 new expedition cards, 12 in German and 12 in English, 17 hero cards, 7 German, 7 English, 3 language neutral, 1 double-sided games tavern, 20 curse tokens, 2 curse blockades, 18 cave tokens, 3 double-sided terrain tiles. Game setup: new expedition cards. Sort the 12 new expedition cards into 4 piles of 3 cards each and place them next to the market board with the other expedition cards from the base game. Now there should be 16 piles instead of 12. Familiars: shuffle the familiars card at the beginning of the game. Give one familiar to each player. Each player reveals their familiar and adds it as their 9th card into their starting deck of cards. Any remaining familiar cards are returned to the box. Heroes: shuffle the 10 hero cards, 7 English and 3 language neutral, and place them in a face-down pile next to the game tavern. Demons: place the demon cards in a face-up pile. Whenever a demon card is removed from the game, put it back in the pile. More info about using the new terrain tiles and Hero Games Tavern can be found on the setup sheet. Mix the new cave tokens with the cave tokens from the base game and shuffle them. The Heroes and Hexes expansion is always played using the cave variants tile, using the cave variants of the base game. Place any surplus cave tokens that aren't on caves in a face-down supply pile next to the terrain. During the game, if you use the supply, take all used tokens from the box, shuffle them, and use them as a new supply. Curses: shuffle all curses at the beginning of the game and place them in a face-down pile. New paths to El Dorado. This page shows additional suggested routes for your game. During setup, place a random blockade on each connection between two terrain tiles. Tips and tricks for creating your own routes with the expansion. Use all of the 3 new terrain tiles. Always attach the game tavern to the 2nd terrain tile. Arrange the new terrain tiles in a way that makes the tunnels into attractive shortcuts. Experiment with wider routes, such as the blind spot. If you aren't sure where to put a blockade, don't place it. The new game elements. Familiars: use familiars like any other card. Instead of their normal power, you may also use their special ability. Replace its power by the value above the crossed out card. After using its special ability, you must remove the familiar from the game and put it into the box instead of discarding it as usual. Example: Daniel plays his familiar, Frank. Now he can either use 1 machete, 1 paddle, or 1 coin. He also has the option to use either 2 machetes, 2 paddles, or 2 coins. If he does, instead of discarding the familiar, Daniel must remove it from the game. Demons: demon cards don't have any special function. Their only purpose is to make your life more difficult, as they take up space in your hand. However, you can still discard them to move onto rubble space, or use them in the marketplace as one half coin. Like any other card, unused demon cards may be discarded at the end of your turn. Hero Games Tavern. During your turn, if you enter movement for the first time on one of the Hero Games Tavern spaces, pause your turn. Turn the top three cards of the hero card pile face up for everyone to see and choose one of them. Put that card straight into your hand. Shuffle the remaining two cards back into the hero pile, then proceed with your turn. You may play the chosen hero card during your current turn. Each player may only hire one hero per game for their expedition. You can find a list of all heroes on page 5 of this rulebook. New landscape spaces. The new terrain tiles feature new landscape types. Demon space. To move onto an unoccupied demon space, you don't play a card. Instead, you must draw a curse for each demon face shown on the demon space and place it in front of you. Some curses are triggered immediately when you draw them. Others stay with you for some time. You can find a list of all curses on page 4 of this rulebook. If an effect tells you to ignore the space requirements while moving, i.e., when using the native, don't draw a curse. Tunnel space. Moving onto a tunnel space works just like moving onto a demon space. Tunnel spaces on the same terrain tile are treated as adjacent spaces. If your piece is on a tunnel space, you may either move onto an adjacent space or through the tunnel onto another tunnel space on the same terrain tile. If you do, you must also draw curses for the target tunnel space. Blockade. The new blockades work just like demon spaces. To pass a blockade, you must draw a curse. Curses. Sometimes, when moving your piece or when playing a specific card, you must draw a number of curses. Curses are drawn one by one and placed face up in front of you. Some curses are triggered and lifted immediately, red border. Others stay with you for some time until you lift them, black border. Lifted curses are removed from the game and put back into the box. During the game, if the curse pile is used up, take all lifted curses from the box, shuffle them, and use them as a new face-down curse pile. Lethargy. You cannot use the shown symbol until you have lifted the curse. To lift a curse, discard the necessary combination of cards and/or cave tiles. Discard at least as much symbol power as shown on the curse. If you overpay, any remaining power is lost. Example. You have drawn the green curse with two machetes. To lift it, you may either discard two explorers or one trailblazer. Misery. You cannot play purple cards. To lift this curse, discard any purple card without using its function. Torment. Immediately draw a demon card and put it on your discard pile. Cave Fever. You cannot play cave tokens. To lift this curse, put a cave token back into the box unused. You may still collect cave tokens while this curse is active. Misfortune. You cannot play any card. To lift this curse, discard two cards. Note, if you only have one card left in your hand, you cannot lift the curse this turn. You won't be able to use the card this turn. At the end of your turn, you may discard it or keep it for the next turn as usual. Voodoo. The player sitting to your left immediately moves your just move piece two times to an adjacent unoccupied space, no mountains. Ignore any space requirements. See natives. Your piece cannot be moved through a tunnel this way and cannot be used to pass a blockade or collect cave tokens. Neighborhood effects are ignored. Paralysis. In turn order, each other player may immediately move all their pieces onto an adjacent, unoccupied space, ignoring any space requirements. See native. Your piece cannot be moved through a tunnel this way and cannot be used to pass a blockade or collect cave tokens. Neighboring effects are ignored. New cave tokens. Demon Banisher. Place this token face up in front of you. Use the Demon Banisher to put a demon card from your hand onto the discard pile of any one player of your choice. Curse Protection. Place this token face up in front of you. Later in the game, whenever you draw a curse, you may look at it and decide if you want to be protected from that curse. If you activate the protection, put the cave tile together with the failed curse back into the box. Geologist step. Place this token face up in front of you. This token works just like the geologist. Move your piece onto an adjacent unoccupied demon space without drawing a curse, or an adjacent empty mountain space without cave tile. Market access. Place this token face up in front of you. This token allows you to buy a card that is not yet on the market board. The remaining cards of that pile stay where they are. Don't put them on the market board. New action cards. Shaman. Move your piece up to 2 times onto an adjacent space, like the native. Then draw a curse and place it in front of you. Geologist. Move your piece onto an adjacent unoccupied demon space without drawing a curse, or an adjacent empty mountain space without cave tile. Cave Explorer. Take a cave tile from the supply and place it face up in front of you. The Heroes. Amelia Lockhart. 3 machete, or 3 paddle, or 3 coins. Scrooge Bly. 6 coins. Christopher Dundee. 4 machete, or 4 paddle. Mary Ripley. 6 machete. Before moving with this card, remove any number of demon cards from your hand. Dr. Ian Magellan. Take a cave token from the supply. Then choose any of your cave tokens and use it without removing it. Sir Henry Threepwood. Take any card from the market board without paying for it and place it face down on your draw pile. This does not count as buying. Even if there is a vacant spot on the market board, you may not take a card next to the market board. Nathan Cook. Move your piece up to 3 times onto an adjacent, unoccupied, 1-power space with a single symbol, including demon spaces. You cannot use this to move onto spaces with more than 1 symbol. You may also use this to pass blockades with the single symbol. Gertrude Everdeen. Move your piece up to 6 times onto an adjacent space. You are allowed to move onto an unoccupied space and/or an empty mountain space without cave tile. Ignore any space requirements. See native. You may also use this to pass a blockade. Then remove the hero from the game and put it into the box. Isabella Jones. Move your piece onto an adjacent space. You are allowed to move onto an unoccupied space or an empty mountain space, no cave tile. Ignore any space requirements. See native. You may also use this to pass blockades. Lara O'Malley. Move each opposing piece onto an adjacent unoccupied space. Ignore any space requirements. See native. The piece cannot be moved through a tunnel this way and cannot be used to pass a blockade or collect cave tokens. And that is the Heroes and Hexes expansion. So I really like Quest for El Dorado. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's kind of silly, but a really good deck builder that plays the second part of the game extremely well, the non-deck builder part of it. The maps and different terrain types can be interesting and has a lot of potential to be different between games, given that the board is so modular. One thing I will say is I own the version of this game where the cards are tiny, and I love my tiny cards. I know that there are normal size cards for this game. I'm not as enthusiastic about that, but I don't think it fundamentally changes the game mechanically, but aesthetically, I do believe I just prefer tiny cards. I think it's just more my speed and my style. It just feels right. And maybe that's just because I played it with that way for so long. One thing about the Heroes and Hexes expansion is the curses are mean, and that's fine. I don't mind some mean stuff. But there is one in particular, Voodoo, which is the player sitting to your left immediately moving your pieces, that we typically just don't play with. It's not really a fun way to play when you've built your deck to be able to overcome an obstacle for someone else to just be like, nah, go backwards. It just doesn't sit right with us, so we just choose not to play with it. It seems a little bit easier to remove that from the game and play with all of the other bad curses. There's already enough ways to get in. There aren't enough options to get into other players' ways, or paths, really. The fun part about building a map is you can build pinch points where someone sits there, no one's moving. And that could be good or bad, depending on how you play it. The other interesting thing that I find is that all of the market spaces have 3 cards. So in a 4-player game, one person will 100% not be getting a card. There's just not enough, which I think is really good for making sure everyone has differently built decks, because everyone gets different opportunities at that point. And yes, you might not have an opportunity to buy one card, but you can also take that opportunity away from somebody else. One mistake I see a lot of people make is going for like the big money strategy, where they get a lot of the cards that give you a lot of money, and then they'll have 18 coins in one turn. But you can't do anything with that because you can only buy one card. And I believe the highest card value in this game is like 6 or 7. It might only be 6. I might be thinking of the sister game that has 7. So the game really does require you to have a variety. Well, really, all 3 symbols in order to properly function. Now, that isn't to say you need a lot of cards. I have played games where my deck was 4 cards. I'm not sure how I did that, but I got my deck down to 4 cards, which means my hand was the exact same every time, knew what I was getting, and they were all decently powerful, so I could race across the board really well. Now, that's an ideal situation. The nice part about being able to get rid of cards is that it does allow you to maneuver and coordinate your deck. You can get rid of your level 1 powers, so you're drawing your level 2 or 3 or 4 powers more often, but also you can tailor your deck for the tile you're on. You can get rid of your machetes if you want to make sure you draw more money cards. You can get rid of your money cards if you want to draw more machete or paddle cards. There's really a lot of options to tailoring your deck to how you want to play. And there's some fun risks, especially with the curse tunnels. You can use those as a really good opportunity to get ahead, but you're also putting yourself at risk with the curses because they are negatively impacting you. This game doesn't have a lot of player interaction, except for the pieces that I kind of took out of the game because it wasn't really working for me. And I actually don't think there's anything wrong with that. There is subtle player interactions, which are, you know, blocking of spaces or denying of cards, but there's no direct aggression, and I don't think the game needs it. You're already dealing enough with trying to optimize your deck, optimize where you are on the board, optimize the money you can generate to make sure you can get the good cards before other people take them. There's just so much to think about, and player aggression is just not needed. I think this game has a lot going for it. I think it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a good game for any type of board gamer. I clearly highly recommend it. I know this is the first game Dacia won the Spiel des Jahres for, which is a critics award for German language board games, but I also think that probably should have won it for some other games, but this game definitely deserves it nonetheless. It's a great game. If you haven't tried it out, I would highly recommend for something light, fun. Takes about 45 to 60 or 75 minutes, just because I didn't want to say 60 to 90, I guess. So it's just a really good, short, kind of weeknight game night type game. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to check out MCG on other social media platforms or go to madecraftgame.com for more content. And I hope you enjoy playing the game.